Technorama episode 390 for November 13, 2013, A Klingon's Nightmare.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm looking for the English to Klingon Travel Dictionary.
Over there, in the media corner.
Where is the bathroom?
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crews, Chuck and Craig.
Here's a travel tip. Don't let Klingons use your bathroom.
No. If you like your plumbing.
Oh, someone's been having a little too much gach last night.
If you like your plumbing where it's at, don't invite a Klingon over.
I am Commander Clog. I must use your bathroom.
Commander Clog.
Doesn't that sound like a good Klingon name?
Yeah, it's like K-L-O-G. I've heard it before.
K-L-O-G.
It's like I've heard it once before.
K-L-O-H-G. Clog.
Clog. He's... Worf's brother, Clog.
And on that note, let's start the show. Welcome to Technorama for November 13, 2013. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek, and occasionally a little potty humor, as you can tell. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, whoa, are you in for a treat. Thanks for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. My name is Chuck Tomasi. As always, with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing great, Chuck. I'm doing fantastic, really, I promise.
Don't invite Klingons over for Mexican food.
Mexican food? No, don't do that. I did that one time.
Your dead burned bird meat.
We should try that theory next time we're at Dragon Con. Invite a real Klingon over.
I'm thinking there's a video in there somewhere. And then have him walk out. He's got the tissue paper stuck to his boot. Yeah. Mighty warrior.
Actually, you should go as a Klingon with just some toilet paper stuck to your shoe. See what somebody says.
He starts gripping the handrails and they're dented.
Yeah. Okay.
And let's keep moving on.
Yeah,
coming up in this episode, we have the Death Star. Stan Lee's best complaints or something. And Thor.
He rolls 20 every time. He laid out plans for man to reach Mars and return safely on a cocktail napkin. The next day, it was approved. He always knows where his towel is. He is the most interesting geek in the world.
I don't always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to Technorama. Stay geeky, my friends.
This is Douglas C. Welch of Career Opportunities, the High-Tech Career Handbook, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Yeah, there were zebras all over the place. It was a mess.
I bet it was a mess. Hey, by the way,
good news is it was in black and white, so we didn't have to pay for color.
You had to pay for color. Take a picture of the camera and convert it to black and white.
Hey, what'd that look like?
I don't know.
Hey, try that on my Instagram thing.
Yeah, Instagram. Here's a black and white of some zebras.
And pandas and polar bears.
Hmm. Yeah, it works for everything.
And lemurs. Hey, get me. I'm Ansel Adams.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do the history thing before it gets any older.
Please. Let's don't let our history get stale.
on this day in history for November 13th, 2013. This is November 13th, the 13th of November. It's the 13th day in the month of November. It's the 317th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 48 days remaining in 2013, even less until Christmas. Yes. It was on this date in 1841 that James Braid first sees a demonstration of animal magnetism, which leads to his study of the subject he eventually calls hypnotism. The hypnotoad is taking over.
I thought it was leading a horn. Anyway, that same date in 1927, the Holland Tunnel opens to traffic for the first... as did it again. As the first Hudson River vehicle tunnel linking... New Jersey and New York City.
What again? You're ruining the illusion.
Oh. Ooh.
The Soviet Union completes development of the AK-47, one of the first proper assault rifles today in 1947. Does that mean it was like Windows 95? Is it called the AK-47 because it came out in 1947?
Yeah. Wait till the XP version comes out.
Glad there wasn't an AKME.
Yeah. No!
It just it shoots yourself in the foot every time.
Yeah, me. 28 years ago today, the volcano Nevada del Ruiz erupts and melts a glacier, causing a lahar, which is a volcano mudslide, that buries Colombia, killing approximately 23,000 people.
Happy birthday goes out of this date to German-American mathematician Max Dane, born on this date in 1878. On this date, 1878.
And also born today in 1893, American biochemist and Nobel Prize laureate Edward
Doisy. Not Eddie Albert. He was on Green Acres.
Yeah, I know that. Eddie Albert.
Mister... I'm going to get you that Nobel Prize. Yeah. The man who brought us TV shows like Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, and more. Actor, director, and producer Gary Marshall turned 79.
And physicist Stephen Paul was born on this date in 1953.
Co-founder of Sun Microsystems and very rich man at this point, Scott McNeely turns 59.
And 1 year younger is actress Whoopi Goldberg.
And finally, comedian, actor, and talk show host Jimmy Kimmel is 46 today. Yay. It also happens to be World Kindness Day. Stick a flower in your hair, sing some hippie songs, grab a guitar, and keep that in mind as you drive to work today. And that's the way it was on this day in history for November 13, 2013.
Does it also mean I need to be kind to my co-host?
On November 13th. Yes, you do.
Okay.
Fortunately, we don't record this on the day you hear it. So, unless we're live on the webcam, which you can see every week, we do this show on Google Plus at 9:30 Eastern Time, 6:30 Pacific, or whatever time it equates to in your part of the world, which may actually be tomorrow. Don't ask. Timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly.
So I'm okay. I'm free of having to be con, right? You jerk.
Hey, all right. I can take that because I forgot to put the birthdays on the birthday calendar. So if I go to chuckchat.com/wiki, click on birthday calendar, I can drill down and scroll to November. Everybody between the 13th and the 22nd-ish. 23rd, actually, but nobody's on the 23rd. We have on the 13th, Pippa from London, UK. We also have Jennifer Therian from Canada on the same day. Eh? And Chuck Jolly, a.k.a. Nightstar from Horn Lake, Missouri on the 15th. Finally, on the 22nd, Tom Pose, one of our listeners whom we met.
He stands like this all the time.
From California.
He's always standing like...
He poses?
Yeah.
He's a poser. I'm sure he hasn't heard that before.
His whole family's posers.
Now we're ripping on our audience. That's not a good sign.
Well, what can you do?
Happy birthday, Tom. 1-0-1 or something to make it up to you. Yeah. Next time we're out there, we'll buy you a free beer. Anyway, happy birthday to everybody who's on the birthday calendar. And if you're not on the birthday calendar, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. I can say this. I got to slow down. And get your name on the birthday calendar. You know, I often wonder, sometimes I talk really fast on this show, and are people listening at double speed? Their head will explode.
What we should do is do a show at like half speed.
Yeah. We'd have to have half the articles in there. Speaking of slow, where's Lenny? Hacks and strange stories.
Hey, by the way, you offered to buy Tom Pose a free beer.
That's absolutely correct.
Because our budget precludes buying one that costs money.
We saw him in California when we used to be able to fly on the Technorama budget, but you know, yes. Budget cuts were down to the Technorama thumb.
So we're still feeling the effects of the government slowdown, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Our first article and our only article, which is our first and only article in the Hacks and Strange Stories, is a little TED Talk animation about the origins of gunpowder. Now, some people know that, you know, gunpowder was invented by the Chinese, and they go, oh, they used it to make fireworks, and then somebody stole it and brought it to Europe and weaponized it to make guns and cannons and all kinds of things. But there's more to it than that, and this animation goes into it. Yeah, oh, that's kind of true. I mean, there is an element in there. And some of the stuff is speculation, like how it actually got to Europe. But the one thing I didn't realize was, in one of the tests that they were doing, it's like, hey, this gunpowder, what's it good for? Maybe it's good for immortality. So they'd like eat it and found out it wasn't.
That's the episode you won't see on Star Trek. Kirk's fighting a Gorn and he starts making the gunpowder.
Yeah. Saltpeter. Now, if he could just find some potassium.
That's right.
Ah, then he'd be immortal.
Actually, you know, it's funny. Whenever I think about gunpowder, the first image that pops in my head is Kirk and that stupid Gorn.
Isn't that your Google Plus icon right now? You the Gorn choking you, or you choking the Gorn?
I'm fighting the Gorn, the one that was at Las Vegas.
That's funny.
I wonder what happened to that Gorn. He's probably sitting like sideways in a warehouse somewhere.
Oh, that's depressing.
And what's worse is I found the pictures, I think I remember in my photo library of where he took that staff and hit some people in the crotch.
The one upside the chin?
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, I got several of them.
We had some fun posing for those. Tim is in there. I thought I said Rev Tim. Re-Tim. Matt Marv said he listens to our show at double speed all the time. It's great. Wow.
Yeah, I listen to, there's certain shows, you know what, there's certain shows where the person that's talking doesn't sound quite right.
Yep.
At double speed. So, and it's not that they're necessarily talking faster, it's just that the way they speak. So, but I listen to
The ones that I have the hardest time with are ones that have call-in, like phone line listeners that call
in. Oh, yeah, because the quality varies.
Yeah, well, the quality of the phone line, and then you speed it up double speed. It's very difficult to understand. So, tis what it is. All right, should we take our break here, or?
Nah, just keep going.
Let's do a shout-out to the chat room first. Yeah, we'll do a shout-out to the chat room, because we're only like 15 minutes into this thing. And
that's right.
Well, you know, normally we put the break somewhere else, but looking at the chat room, we have a show. We do this live every Sunday night, 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern, or whatever that translates into your part of the world. I look at the chat room and we give a big shout out to Craig and me and Big Scott T, Captain Rootbeer, Gru, Mad Marv, Re Tim, which fooled me because I thought it was Rev Tim.
Yeah, Re Tim.
Re-Tim, and I know why he's doing that, because we actually started recording this and forgot to hit record.
Yeah. So,
if you watch the video on YouTube, you'll see what happens, and you'll go, wow, just fast forward to about 14 minutes, and you can avoid the first take, because it sounds an awful lot like the second take to this point in the show.
That's right.
You're about to take a break, and I glance down and go, whoops. And then Craig goes, yeah, me
what's,
too.
What's bad is I look down and went, whoops, whoops.
We didn't even have a backup to the backup. I mean, we would have had to suck the audio off of YouTube, and that's not the best. So we wanted to give you, the listener, the best audio experience possible. So we're going to stop the show now.
No. Yeah. Yeah, we enjoyed it.
See, here's the best audio experience.
That's right.
White noise.
Put everybody to sleep.
Technorama, the other white noise. So I told you where to find us, Google Plus Hangouts. Oh, you can watch live on the show at chuckchat.com/wiki, and we'll have the show up there for you automatically. Media Corner, or should we do a break first?
Media Corner, break later.
Media Corner. Sounds like we haven't done this show in about a month, but it hasn't even been a week because we just recorded one on Monday.
You know what? Every once in a while, we're allowed to have a crap show, right? Welcome.
Every once in a while, meaning like every 7 days?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or more.
Yeah, there's a lot of days in between, but yeah, every 7 days.
At least once a week.
Speaking of crap.
I giggled when I saw this. Charmin, the bathroom tissue manufacturer, has jumped on the Thor bandwagon. They have, you know, for a long time, they've been having this bear as their cartoon avatar, you know, character, because the classic line is, you know, does a bear in the woods?
Yes. Right? Well, apparently he cares enough to use toilet paper.
Right. He carries his Charmin around. Well, Charmin has gone Thor themed, and he's got, instead of the hammer for Mjolnir, on top of it is this roll of toilet paper. And he's, you know, doing the one hand and kneeling down, and, you know, look, he's got his cape and his Thor outfit on. And the caption reads, "We've always been an Asgardian."
What, what?
I'm scratching my head going, okay, it wasn't just me that when they said Asgard.
Actually, I should have put two S's in there for Asgard.
I thought Asgard was G-A-A-R-D, but maybe I'm thinking of the Finnish spelling.
The phonetic spelling of Asgard. Yeah, that was kind of cute. Oh, wait a minute. Right. Look, oh, by the way. Charmin tweeted this image, but it was pulled shortly afterwards, perhaps for trademark reasons. So that's interesting. I didn't know that.
So this wasn't done by Charmin, or was it?
Yeah, it was on their Charmin Twitter feed, but apparently somebody went, whoa, 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 whoa. The attorneys watched the Charmin feed, I guess, and they, whoa, whoa, whoa. Get
the Charmin attorneys or the Marvel attorneys.
I have a feeling all of them were involved. I don't know. Take your pick.
I think it's funny.
I thought it was funny. They should have
Speaking
just
of Thor,
it.
Since the movie just came out, we have another link of 8 things that Marvel got wrong about Thor and the whole Norse mythology thing.
It's like a Thor night.
Yeah, by the end of this, you're going to be Thor, all right.
Yeah. If you're listening to this on Thor's Day,
we'll make your ears Thor, your nose Thor. But by Monday, you should be okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to read through the whole list, but it may shock you to learn that Stan Lee and Jack Kirby did not do an accurate job bringing the Norse god Thor and his mythology into the Marvel Comics universe back in 1962. If they had, they would have been arrested, because Norse myths are full of murder, mayhem, and weird sex, most of which still wouldn't be publishable nowadays.
Wow.
Here, there's 8 ways on this link through the show notes that Thor and his world differ between the comics and the myths.
Right.
So I'm just going to go through Thor, but there's also one on Loki, Baldur, Sif, Odin. Keep going.
Yeah.
Let's start with the God of Thunder. Marvel's Thor had blonde, often clean-shaven man who speaks in Shakespearean patterns with lots of these and thous and Dost thou, mother, know you? She wearest your, you wearest her drapes. Yeah. Oh, wait, that was Iron Man doing that.
But yeah.
Believe it or not, the god of ancient Norsemen did not speak English of any sort. The original Thor also had red hair, was never willingly without his beard, and gloried in the battle to the point where Marvel's Thor might have thought him a supervillain. The Norse Thor needed magic gloves. I thought this was interesting. I did not know this part. Needed magic gloves to handle Mjolnir, or to have Mjolnir fly back to him. I think they forgot the L.
Well, that makes sense, I guess. Okay.
And a special belt to use at its full power, while Marvel used the belt in Alternate Universe Ultimate Comics. The gloves had not been mentioned in the regular Marvel Universe at all. The original Thor can't fly, except with the use of his chariot drawn by the goats Tooth Gnasher and Tooth Grinder.
Yeah, I don't think that would catch on very well in the movie.
These have appeared in the comics occasionally, but Thor mainly flies by tossing his hammer around. Wee! Kind of like,
or slinging it. See, everybody kept saying throwing it. I'm like, well, yeah, he's kind of throwing it, but he's kind of slinging it, you know, because
we have more on that from Stan Lee later. So
yes,
he thought it was a neat way to get around.
But yeah, apparently it worked for him.
It's not even accurate, but since he's inventing this universe based on a Norse myth. Oh, and while Marvel's Thor saves his affections for the human Jane Foster in Norse mythology, he marries the warrior goddess Sif, although he still doesn't mind stepping out from time to time.
Well, that makes sense, but, well, I'm not going to spoil anything because I saw the movie, but, you know, you can kind of see a little bit of, she's just looking at him longingly a little bit, Sif.
And unlike the movie, or unlike Marvel, in the Norse mythology, Thor was never punished by Odin to walk the earth as a lame Dr. Donald Blake.
Yeah, that's funny.
Curses thou, Doctor. They didn't get into that in the movies yet, did they?
What's that?
Dr. Blake.
They talked about it in the first one. Remember, he, Eric Selznick kind of, what Donald Blake was seeing Jane Foster apparently at some point, cause she had a shirt with his name tag on it. And then she gave the shirt to Thor, cause he was shirtless and too cut to make everybody else look bad, for crying out loud. And so she put the shirt on. Anyway, it had Donald Blake on it. Remember when he went to get him from S.H.I.E.L.D., he made up, Eric made a kind of a story about, oh, he's just a little out of his, you know, he's had a lot going on and, you know, he's a little flaky, yeah, kind of thing. Remember that?
No, I'll have to go back and watch the original Thor.
Yeah, we watched it last night, as a matter of fact, before.
The original or the new one?
The first Thor. The first Thor, we watched it before we saw Thor 2.
The Dark World.
That's right.
Okay. We'll save your review for a little bit.
Yes.
Stan Lee has comments about how Thor flies, and he compares him with Superman in this short little video.
Hey, wait a minute. Back up for one second, if you don't mind.
Yes. Please.
So the article at IO9 was saying 8 things Marvel got wrong about Thor. Yes. Well, let's keep in mind that Thor is fictional, and this is all based on. It's not historical, for crying out loud.
It's a myth that the Norse people have been handing down for generations, no. And Stan Lee just decided to up and change it. It's a bit like changing the way Jesus does miracles.
Well, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it was based on, so, I mean, where's the artistic license in there? He can change any of that stuff. How can he get it wrong if he just changed it?
Did you hear what you just said?
Yes, I did. What I'm saying is, if he just based it on it, right? One.
It's not based on Thor. He's saying this is Thor.
Who? Stan Lee?
Stan Lee. It's not, you know, What do you say it was? Grandchildren. It's not Thorian. It's
what
not,
do you say it was Thor? Wait a minute.
Dude,
I don't think
Norse
I'm looking
god,
at. I don't think
Big
that,
Hammer, brother Loki, father Odin. This is Thor.
No, I'm just what I'm getting
it's
at is
Stan Lee's Thor.
Yeah, it's Stan Lee's Thor. It's just based on the guy. It's not. These are fictional characters to begin with.
Are they?
Maybe. But what I'm saying
I'm
is
I'm not gonna get into any religious wars with anybody who's
no well let's talk about Apollo. Remember in Star Trek when he let's don't go there. I'm just saying they took an artistic license and based a character off of this guy, so I don't think that he represented this as you know how he is, you know what I'm saying, or how it it's not like a documentary comic book.
Right, which is why he probably had to change some of this stuff so you don't get, you know, animals flying all over the place and whatnot.
Well, there was a horse-head Thor. That's a whole other...
Thor.
Anyway, we'll get to that later. But anyway, that's what I'm saying. How can Marvel get it wrong if they based it on it, but...
It doesn't say based on... You know, when you watch the movie, it doesn't say based on the Norse mythology...
It's because Norse mythology doesn't have lawyers. Otherwise, they would have to add, you know, asterisk beside Thor. You know?
Read into it, and it gets even more strange when they bring out some of the other characters like Loki. He was just a wise guy, a smart aleck most
yeah.
of the time.
Well, that's why always mischief, the god of mischief, he would kind of do his little right. thing. Like a jester, I thought, kind of.
Right. He wasn't. You know, the antagonist of the whole thing. But anyway, Stan Lee goes on to complain about how Superman flies. And he I kind of found this humorous because he says, you know, how does Superman fly? He just makes this pose and he flies. There's no jets. There's no propellers. There's no means of propulsion. But Thor, on the other hand, he's got his hammer, and he's got, he calls it a thong. It's kind of like the Wii remote strap.
Yeah.
And he whips his hammer around and lets it fly.
Thong is what all the women are wearing.
You'd rip your arm out of your socket if you did that with something that weighs 300 million elephants in weight.
Elephants.
Or one Tyson, as we now call it.
One Dyson. Yeah.
So yeah, he's now playing. You know who would win in a what was I watching the other day, or a comic? It said, I know what it was. It was a series of text messages between the Avengers, and I was reading through a news feed yesterday, and Tony Stark is talking to Dr. Banner, and he says. The text message was, you were so high, you did a PowerPoint on who would win a fight of Santa Claus versus Peter Pan. and then the next frame says, and you were very compelling, too.
Very compelling, too.
So, yeah, this kind of reminds me of that. Stan Lee is comparing Thor's means of flight versus Superman's means of flight again. Two totally made up characters, but he even changed the way that one of them flies.
Yeah. Well, here you go. Here again. He's all this is fictional. So it's funny to hear him arguing now.
Right. Like Santa Claus versus Peter Pan.
That reminds me of back in the day when Spider-Man came out and people were yelling because they changed some of the billboards digitally in Times Square. You know, I said, yep. Well, let's just ignore the big guy swinging on a web. This is all fictional. It's not even I don't know. Does it have to be a real representation of Times Square for crying out loud?
He can't be seen when he's flying on webs or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a quick break and we will be back with Craig's review of the latest Thor movie and a couple of things in the Geek Library that I think you will find most interesting. Be right back.
Netscapades on ice. Come see Matthew Willington perform the interpretive dance set to ice of the .com boom and burst on ice. See Microsoft, Amazon, and Netscape battle it out for their piece of the pie. Netscapades on ice. Watch CEOs vying for a new part of this new frontier. Netscapades. Coming to the Hallmark Union Square, November 13th. It's an experience you'll never forget. On ice.
Hello, this is Dr. Floyd.
And this is Dr. Grant from the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
And you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
Ooh, Technorama. That sounds fancy and sci-fi.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear that's with Chuck and Craig.
Who?
Craig.
Craig Stepp?
Yes, Craig Stepp. You know him, right?
Oh, sure. Who doesn't know him?
Thirty-five, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42. See, it adds up every time. 42.
You're right.
It's not just one of those weird things. It happens every time.
Every freaking time.
Every time. Speaking of weird things, we promise to share with our listeners your opinion of Thor. Tell us, oh wise Asgardian.
Okay. Well, since the movie just came out, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I will say this. One, it was a fun movie. I really liked it a lot. I think it built upon the first one, which I enjoyed. I wouldn't say I loved it as much as some of the other Marvel movies, but Thor the Dark World, I think, built off of that and made it much more enjoyable. There was some humor in all the right places without making it allowing the movie to not be so heavy, you know, because you get all this.
From what I heard, it sounded like Loki kind of carried the movie in terms of, you know, scene quality. When he wasn't in a scene, it kind of dragged or suffered. Did you find that?
Maybe a little. I wouldn't say so, because there were some. Not totally. I will say when he was on screen, you know, it was a little more interesting. He's that character and Tom Hiddleston that plays him really brings something to it, because people want to like him, even though he's technically, an antagonist. You know what I'm saying? In some ways. Not necessarily in this movie. And I'm not trying to. I'm not spoiling anything by saying that. But you know what I'm saying? It's, even though he's supposed to be not. Such a nice, he's not really a superhero, but people love him. So he does add something to the movie. Yes, he does. And let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, the humor was there, made it really good. I thought it was going to get confusing because they're jumping around on some different terrain, and like they're in Midgard, then they're on one of the other realms. But that wasn't the case. So, yes, it was good. And be sure to stick around, because there's two clips after the movie in the credits.
Oh, okay.
One,
is this another one like at the end of Avengers where like two people go, oh, but no one else has a clue?
Sort of. Yeah, actually, you know what? There is. There's two clips. One of them is one, like a teaser for something else. And then one of them is relating back to the movie that you just saw. So stay through the entire credits. But okay. Yes, I can recommend it. It was a good movie. And I did want to make sure I was right, but I looked up a couple of things about the clip and went, I see what's going on here. So it made a lot of sense. But
if not Tom Hiddleston, who else could have played Loki?
Jim Carrey.
Who would you? You would have cast Jim Carrey with that. That would have been nice. Yeah. All righty then. Bow down.
Well, he did play the Riddler.
How about Samuel L. Jackson?
He's already got a part in the Marvel Universe.
Oh, that's true. That wouldn't work. Yeah. You will bow down to me.
Do you know you look a lot like Nick Fury?
How about Mark Hamill? Uncle Owen, these people won't bow down to me.
Yeah. No. I think Tom Hiddleston's nailed it. Well, you know, there's a rumor that... at the end of the credits, it did say Thor will return. So I have a feeling that Thor 3 will be coming up after the Avengers or something like that.
Why did they allude to him being dead?
No, not like that. Just, you know, says Thor will return.
Oh, okay.
Like, be prepared, another sequel is coming, kind of thing. And that
I'm surprised they haven't dragged any of those actors into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. yet.
That reminds me. Is it this week? This week's episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. is supposed to be follow up on something directly from the movie.
They better do something, because that show is really starting to drag.
Yeah, it's kind of touch and go with me. I'm enjoying it, but it needs to pick up something.
Yeah, it's kind of episodic. It's almost like Gilligan's Island at this point, where the whole thing is wrapped up and there's a slight, you know, story arc, but it's not.
Yeah,
it's not resonating. I'm trying hard, man, but I'm ready to throw in the towel on this thing.
I'm not just yet, because I knew they're going to have a little bit of tie-in and start bringing some probably the lesser known characters from the movies. I don't know if they're going to have, like, you know, Chris Evans come in and do Captain America or nothing, but there, I think there's going to be
They should.
It would be kind of cool to see that come
it
in.
It should be in his contract, his Marvel contract.
Yeah,
put on the suit, man. You're doing a TV show. Yeah,
suit up. But hey, well, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is not doing any more sequels right now. So, come on, man.
Yeah, and his effects just got a lot cheaper too, because he's not doing Iron Man.
Yeah, that's right. He's not doing Iron Man. So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I thought it was really good, and definitely recommend it. So what'd you say? I can't remember if we talked about this last week. I don't believe we did. Did you saw the movie Gravity?
Yeah, I saw Gravity about a week or so ago.
Okay, how was it?
I liked it. It wasn't, you know, your utmost action movie. It had a decent storyline to it. The effects were great. You know, George Clooney and Sandra Bullock?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Very memorable.
I had Angelina stuck in my mind for some reason, but I knew that wasn't right. So that's what that pause was
I'd
about.
Like to be stuck in space with her. Just saying. Just saying.
So I thought it was good. We were about to go see Ender's Game. Every time I say that name, I want to say Bender's Game.
Yeah. Come on, buddy Fry. Actually, I heard Ender's Game was really good. I want to check that out.
Where is it? Where's the...
I don't like the sound of that.
No, we had that clip. Where is it? The one from Bender's Game.
Good news, everyone.
What?
Not that one. Here we go.
And so our quest comes to an end. I only regret not giving up sooner.
That's right.
I liked it. It was a good movie. I don't know what should I say? I mean, it wasn't an action movie. It was a good solid movie. It was a little slow in a couple of spots. I'll grant you that.
Right.
But in general, you know, you kind of felt like you were there. You were along for the ride. No, Big Scott T in the chat room was there with me. He said, very good movie. So there you go. Two ones up. We have our own movie rating system now.
It's either one or zero. It's not very,
right.
it's dynamic.
Two runs up.
It's not very dynamic. It's either yes or no.
It's a one.
All right.
How would you rate that on the Technorama rating scale? It's a one.
Yeah.
And that's a scale of 0 to 1.
We'll have to steal the thumbs up or thumbs down, because that's really all.
Right. It's not two thumbs up. It's two ones up.
It's two bits up.
Speaking of bits, no Bothans had to die in order for you to get your hands on the plans for the Death Star from Star Wars. Yes, we have the actual plans. You can just buy the Imperial Death Star Owner's Workshop Manual, published by, get this. Now, I got to take a little sidebar here. When I was in high school and college, I couldn't afford a mechanic to work on my car, so I often did my own car repairs,
sure.
As did many young people.
Yeah.
And you either got yourself the Chilton's Manual, or The more preferred one with better details was from Hanes.
Right.
That's who's come out with this Death Star Owner's Workshop Manual. Published by Hanes, the same folks who did the Millennium Falcon Owner's Manual.
That's right.
So in case you ever want to work on your Millennium Falcon during the weekend.
Got a Carillion smuggling ship?
The cannon in the back is misfiring. You want to check the timing belt?
Timing belt.
Yeah, you could just see, what was it, Chewbacca? It was like banging on the thing to get it to fix.
So which model Death Star is this referring to?
I was wondering the same thing, and I was also wondering where the propulsion is in this, because, you know, the Death Star has to move from system to system.
Well, yeah, they moved it over to, yeah, otherwise, we built it so it can destroy planets. A little oversight, we can't move it.
Right, I'd like to see some of these plans.
The planets have to come to us.
The other thing I want to know is, what's driving the gravity? Because it looks like the people live on the outside, not on the inside, as we were once led to believe. So if you look at some of these pictures, they have the city sprawl, North 7A68. So when you see the ships flying over the Death Star, you kind of see like this cityscape in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that's where the people live.
Hey, let me share my screen.
Yeah, there you go. Because I'm sure these fine little pictures will show up oh so well.
Which? Did I share the wrong screen?
Picture and picture.
I shared the wrong screen. Hold on.
Link in the show notes, folks. So if you're not watching.
There we go.
Not seeing it yet. It's coming up. Something's coming up. There.
Yeah.
Okay, so it looks like a circle with a bunch of lines on it from what I can see on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So is this Death Star 1 or Death Star 2?
I wonder if all that empty space is filled. Is it, like, solid?
Well, I'm also wondering if if this is Death Star 1, is that little ventilation port on here somewhere that I can use?
Yeah. Ventilation port. They even got drawings of the turrets.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the laser cannon turret thing.
And
turbo, what do they call them? Turbo laser cannon?
Now, this is something I always thought about when I was a kid, was the TIE fighters. You know, how do they come in and land? And, of course, they kind of come in and...
Yeah, because you wouldn't want to land that sucker on the solar panels.
Yeah, you get a little off and you could just fall over, I'm sure.
Anybody who's tried building a model of that certainly knows that that is not the most stable thing when it comes to gravity.
Yeah, well, they also built that ventilation port. That same people are responsible for that, too. Yeah,
they
here's your...
mighty fine job. The Death Star went to the lowest bidder, right?
Yeah. Yeah, true.
That's why it wasn't finished in the second movie.
Here's your urban, your city sprawl, some of the panels.
Yeah. See, I think people lived on the outside.
It did kind of make it look like that, didn't it?
And while we're on the topic of Star Wars, I'm sure most people have already heard about this because it was on CNN last week.
What's that?
That was pretty amazing. That one fan remakes the Phantom Menace scene. Hell so yeah. That Jar Jar dies in the beginning.
Yes. I did post this on Facebook, and I was like, why in God's name didn't this not happen?
Well, there's actually two versions of this. If you watched the minute 15 one, he goes over the falls. Oh, spoiler alert. But if you watch the minute 47 one, they get him out and life goes on.
Mm. Thanks, Jedis. So much
Jar
Jar. So much for protecting the Republic. You just got to save Jar Jar.
Jar Jar, you better get out of that boat quickly. Oh, darn. The rope broke.
Yeah. Hey, look, if Jar Jar had a dive, we wouldn't have had all this material over the years, you know?
Right. You know how he died. Whoop a Gungam style.
Oh, for crying out loud. Oh, boy.
Come on. Wow. The first time you heard that song, you weren't thinking about that?
No.
You didn't think Gangnam Style had something to do with Jar Jar?
No, I was trying to figure out how this Korean guy was making money off YouTube videos. That's what went through my mind.
All right. So on that bad pun, we're at the end of the show, lucky listener.
Lucky
until
listener.
Next week when we do another crappy show.
Hey, listener. Oh, we're
listener.
Lucky.
I didn't say listeners.
Yeah. Listener. We're talking to you.
Craig asked me this week, he goes, hey, how many listeners do you think we have to Technorama? And I said, well, that's easy. There's Chuck and Craig, and sometimes Chuck doesn't listen.
Yeah. I think he's referring to me listening sometimes. I don't know.
Well, you have to edit the show, right? So that's at least one.
Yes, I do. Every once in a while, I listen to the finished product.
Every once in a while.
Okay, often, all right?
Mad Marv thought he was when he thought Psy was singing about Mobile Suit Gundam.
Oh.
Whoop, a Gundam Style. That's the end of the show. We appreciate your support. If you want to get in touch with us, there are many ways. Send us your bad puns, jokes, or articles that you found on the interwebs. Call the listener line 206-222-2428. That's 206-222-CHAT. We better call that line and make sure that it still works. Or you can email us at technorama@chuckchat.com. Some of you do, so we know you are listening. Or that one listener.
Hey, by the way.
Or you can also find us on Twitter. Yes?
I'm planning to go see The Day of the Doctor, the 50th anniversary episode, in the theaters. I'm curious.
I think you mentioned that, yes.
Yeah, and I'm curious if anybody else is doing the same thing or just going to catch it on TV.
I did hear somebody in Milwaukee was going, but I don't recall who it was.
Okay. How about you? Is that something you would go to the theater and see?
What day of the week is the 23rd? Isn't it like a Tuesday?
Yes. What is happening is, it comes out in select theaters the day it broadcasts on the BBC. And then there's a second showing, which is the 29th, which is a Monday. And that's like the time I have to go see it because I'm not in a major select city, I guess.
Well, I'm nowhere near a major select city. Well, an hour and a half away. Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. Kind of depends. On the work schedule, mostly.
Yeah.
So, as I was saying, Twitter, C. Tomasi, Step K, or Technorama. You can find us on the Facebook page at Technorama page on Facebook. You know that. Google Plus. What's our link over there on Google Plus now?
I always get just search for Technorama Podcast. You'll find it.
That's right. You'll find it. All these links and many more are on our website at chuckchat.com. Click on the Technorama link. You'll get there. And thank you once again. It's that time of month where I thank everybody who gives the monthly micropayments to the tip jar. They mean so much to us and help so much that we just want to say thank you. And if you're listening to this closer to Thanksgiving in the United States, happy Thanksgiving. And thanks to Mad Mar for all the great blog content, everyone who listens to the show, sends us links, and join us in the Hangout this week. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. As always, give me a binary high five.
101. And that's all I got to say about that.
Run, Forrest, run.